app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a mystery over the deaths of actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog. Investigators in New Mexico say their bodies were found in a state of decomposition at their home in Santa Fe, and there were no signs of a gas leak. County Sheriff Adan Mendoza.
The autopsy is going to be key, and the toxicology. But again, in my experience, you know, that could take a while.
CBS's Anna Schechter says Hackman's remains were found in a mudroom.
Seemed he had been walking around. He was wearing sort of casual clothes. Sweatpants, according to the affidavit, and detectives felt like they thought he had fallen abruptly himself.
Investigators say his wife's body was in a bathroom with prescription pills strewn about. Another court defeat for the Trump administration's efforts to slim down the government workforce. A federal judge says last week's firings were probably illegal. CBS's Thane Rosenbaum.
The court ruled that the Office of Personnel Management has no authority to implement these layoffs, especially based on some pretense of poor performance.
President Trump and Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky are expected to make nice at the White House today after a war of words over the conflict with Russia. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
President Trump says he expects President Zelensky to sign a peace deal that allows U.S. access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals.
The American taxpayers will now effectively be reimbursed for the money and hundreds of billions of dollars poured into helping Ukraine defend itself.
When asked if he would apologize to President Zelensky for calling him a dictator.
We're going
to
get along really well, okay? We have a lot of respect.
New measles cases in the U.S. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Infants in the Seattle and Los Angeles areas, an adult in Frankfort, Kentucky, and three adults in Bergen County, New Jersey have all contracted the virus. All those cases were linked to international travel.
An unvaccinated child died of measles in Texas, where more than 120 cases have been reported. In Greece, demonstrators lob Molotov cocktails and rocks at police in Athens during a mass protest on the second anniversary of a deadly train crash that's become a symbol of institutional failure. He hasn't won an Oscar, but he's making bank.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Dwayne Johnson tops 2025's list of highest paid Hollywood actors. Forbes' Matt Craig.
We have him at $88 million after having two really big movies in 2024, Red One, and then he had a voice acting role in Moana 2.
Number two on the list, Ryan Reynolds with $85 million, then Kevin Hart with $81 million. S&P futures up 21. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
On the next Midday Magazine, we wrap up the week in part one with our friends from the ADRC, and in part two, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent Ron Rasmussen. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Bucks bury the Nuggets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Denver Nuggets were coming off a recent 9-game winning streak, but the Bucks held them off 121-112. Milwaukee has now won 5 of their last 6. Bucks center Brook Lopez.
Yeah, I think it shows us who we are. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, but it shows the guys in the locker room what this team's capable of, who we are, and justifies the goals we have.
The Bucks outscored Denver for the first 5 minutes of the final period. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought our fourth quarter offense had pace tonight, you know, 37 points in the fourth quarter. And we're just talking about us not scoring, and today we did it. So we know we can do it. We just can't lose our pace.
So the Bucks head to Dallas now to play the Mavericks tomorrow. College basketball, UWM with a win over Oakland at the Panther Arena in Milwaukee, 71-66. Marquette is at Georgetown, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Baseball, Brewers with a win in Arizona, 12-5 over the Kansas City Royals. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you weren't already aware, there will be a Shrek 5, and it will have a fresh-faced new star in the cast, according to Deadline.com. Zendaya will join the cast as Shrek's daughter. If you're scoring at home, that means she will play the offspring of Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz. Eddie Murphy will also be back as Donkey. Shrek 5 will be the first film in the franchise to hit theaters since 2010's Shrek Forever. The fifth installment is expected to grace our screens Christmas of 2026. The death of Gene Hackman will most likely be talked about for weeks to come in the entertainment business. Texas. Hackman and his wife Betsy were found dead in their New Mexico home Wednesday. Hackman quietly retired from acting in 2004 after appearing in the film Welcome to Mooseport. In a 2009 interview with Empire magazine regarding his retirement, Hackman revealed that the straw that broke the camel's back was his doctor telling him his heart could no longer handle excessive stress. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be really windy with falling temperatures and a few sprinkles or flurries likely today. We'll see wind gusts from 40 to 45 through the afternoon. Temperatures will climb into the upper 40s by lunchtime, but quickly drop into the mid-30s by late afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny, not windy, but cooler. Our high tomorrow, 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Our old friend Peter Ray Fine of EPOM's World is in with a wacky week in review, and Mr. Zomers rolls out a board game of the week. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Is it? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Here I am. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Friday morning. It's February 28th, heading into the weekend with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Greg Bach is here as well. I'm mostly here, having been off for just about a week down in Arizona, so still figuring out how all the buttons work, but we're here. We're here, and somewhere in all of these buttons, there's a lot to pass along from Rob and Tigerton. Brittany, how are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm excited for the crazy wind, actually. It's going to be wild out there.
The crazy wind? Okay. Well, I've got quite a lead-in for you here from Rob, who says, good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy, 38. It feels like 29 with winds from the southwest at 15 miles an hour. He says, I still watch MASH on MeTV every night. And he notes, we talked about Gavin McLeod on The Love Boat and Mary Tyler Moore. Also noted that he played Happy in McHale's Navy from 1962 to 1966. He says he loved that show. He also notes with all the cuts being made, he's strongly against that because meteorologists do play a critical role in the weather forecasting and keep us updated on major storms and other weather patterns. That's why I really appreciate all the work Brittany and other meteorologists do. They are the best. He says, welcome back, Pat. I still think Pat, Greg, and Brittany are the best in morning radio and social media, and concludes by saying, this is the last day of meteorological winter. Well, so you say, Rob. Let's check with the expert. Can you confirm, Brittany?
Yes, it is the last day of meteorological winter, but that doesn't mean that winter weather isn't going to come here in spring, and we all know that that's the case. So we flip the books as of March 1st. That just makes more sense for us. We do it in 3-month increments, and that way we can look at the data and really hone in on what's going on seasonally, because the equinox, it changes, right? It's not consistent. So anyhow, as we go through this weekend, we are going to start to feel much, much cooler. And in fact, that's going to start today and throughout this afternoon with crashing temperatures earlier than they usually do. And it's because of a clipper system that is moving across Lake Superior into the UP and off into Michigan. And what's that going to do for us? Well, it's swinging a cold front through and bringing some blustery, brutal winds. Right now, they're already sustained at 15 to 25 miles per hour. They're seeing gusts right now into Oshkosh and Ashland at 40 miles per hour, and it's only going to get worse from here. This is just the start of it. Right now, they're out of the south. They're going to be switching to out of the northwest as this cold front moves through, and the cold front could spark up a few spotty showers out ahead of it and a few flurries behind it. And it's also going to turn on that lake effect snow machine off of Lake Superior, where areas in towards the lake near Hurley, you could see another 5 inches of snowfall just today from that lake effect snow and these strong winds. So here's the thing. We could see some power outages. You can also see some trees coming down too, because that soil is so saturated from all of the moisture and the melt and all of that. It's just a little bit easier to push trees down, and these winds are going to be very strong. So we're going to see gusts anywhere from 40 to 50 miles per hour throughout the entire state. This is why a wind advisory goes into effect at 10 a.m., lasts until 6 o'clock this evening, and then we're going to start to see those winds start to slowly ease as we go into the overnight. Now, temperatures, they will hit the low 50s down by the state line later this afternoon, but highs right now in the north, we're already here. We're only going to get colder as this front moves through, so we are dropping overnight to temperatures into the teens to even single digits, and then we stay colder tomorrow, all of us below freezing in the 20s.
So these temps that I'm seeing right now at the bus stop, 44 in Chippewa Falls, 39 in Wausau, 37 in Green Bay, 39 down by Greg, this is about it? But yep, for us up north, at least? Okay.
We might get a few degrees warmer, if that, and then we're going to get slammed right back down. Probably planned for temperatures this afternoon to be in the 30s.
Well, oh, I can handle that.
Rob jumps on and says on YouTube, March Madness applies to weather more than basketball right now. And also that maple syrup season is underway with trucks going by my house hauling sap. So many signs of the season here. The calendar, just among them.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we'll batten down the hatches, absolutely. Brittany. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
Yep. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. We'll tell you more about what's in there in a sec. I forgot to mention with Brittany here that this is also Flood Safety Awareness Week in Wisconsin. Flooding is one of the most frequently occurring natural disasters in the state. It's a top cause of weather deaths across the U.S. Please do not drive through a flooded road. You just don't know what's underneath there. And the National Weather Service also notes the importance of having flood insurance for your home. Make sure your sump pump is working and consider having a backup. Make sure all your important documents are in a waterproof elevated container and not necessarily in the basement, and get that snow away from the downspout area and prevent some flooding in your basement area, all part of Flood Awareness Week. In our newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, we talked a little earlier today already about it being National Pancake Day and where you can find some of the best in Wisconsin, but Christina also has a story in there about sister cities. And, you know, it's a concept that started after World War II as a way of strengthening connections between allied countries. Wisconsin's state capital, for example, has 10 different sister cities on 5 different continents. And you see a link to learn more about that over on our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We have our own first live event happening for Up North News, and that would be a state Supreme Court forum, 3 different panel discussions on some of the big issues that will be decided on April 1st between Dane County Judge Susan Crawford and Republican former State Attorney General and Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel. So in these discussions, we will have conversations about the economy and what a newly composed Supreme Court could do to help or hinder job creation and climate legislation. Another panel on reproductive health rights, and that can really change in Wisconsin depending on what happens on April 1st. And more about the future of public education in Wisconsin. After all, there are lawsuits that are challenging the voucher program and the anti-union legislation Act 10 itself. So many panelists here, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, State Representative Francesca Hong. We'll have folks from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, from WEAC, from Planned Parenthood, and OBGYN. State Senator Kelda Royes will be there as well. Representative Supreme Moore Omukunde from Milwaukee. Joseph Pecky, Melissa Baldoff, Dan Schaefer. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of this? Head over to upnorthnewswi.com/supreme. And find out more about our Supreme Court Forum Wednesday, March 12th, that evening at the Overture Center in Madison. I would love to have you in attendance or listening to the live stream that we will set up as well. So be sure you tune in for all of that. Quick check on sports here as we approach the quarter hour mark. The Milwaukee Bucks were in action last night. Giannis scored 28 points as the Bucks beat Denver 121-112. They will next play at Dallas on Saturday. The Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team getting near the end of the regular season, three games left before the conference tournament. That includes a game Sunday against Michigan State. Coverage begins at 11:30 Sunday morning on Civic Media stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. The Marquette men's basketball team next plays tomorrow night at Georgetown. And the top-ranked Badger women's hockey team is in action starting this evening, hosting the first round of the WCHA conference tournament. They host Bemidji State tonight, tomorrow afternoon, and then Sunday afternoon, if needed, in that best of three series to open up the conference tournament. We were speaking in our last hour a bit about, let's just say the chaos brought by Trump administration cuts. And again, the ridiculousness out there of believing, like as one person says on Facebook, that these are all actors playing a part. This move to minimize the real harm that is being done by these job cuts. And the point that I want to make is because we've talked a lot about the cuts. This is a real impact on real people, and it's going to impact all of our lives. But it comes back to this notion, and we talk about this with the debt ceiling all the time, that when Republicans talk about, well, we shouldn't vote to authorize an increase in the debt ceiling. Well, you basically have to because you've already authorized this spending. And this is just about paying the bills. And that's what really sticks with me about all of these illegal firings. And they are illegal firings. And I believe many of them will at some point be reinstated. Because this is not part of a budget process. The folks that are hired, the folks that are doing all of these key jobs from air traffic controllers on down, were hired as part of a budget that was approved by Congress and signed by the president. And so for a president to think that they can come in as the executive branch and start making cuts throughout the entire government just reeks of an overreach in power. And yes, Congress is going along with the bit right now. They're going to wish they hadn't at some point if the tables were ever to be turned. These are commitments that were made, promises that were made to these workers saying, you come serve your country and do these essential jobs, and you will have this job security. Maybe not until the next budget. Maybe the next budget will be cutting jobs. But to do this mid-cycle is the kind of a authoritarian stretch that another court yesterday said was a bridge too far for the executive branch. We'll see if it sticks as it continues to make its way through the court. But again, to think that you can get away with denigrating the people who are losing their jobs just reminds me that there are different people who should lose their jobs instead. Some won't lose their jobs until November of next year. And with that, that might include, say, some of their staffers. If you look on the Eau Claire media news sites, WEAU, for example, ran a story about how nearly 100 people showed up to talk to Brian Westrate, the former chair of the Eau Claire Republican Party, who's now the Eau Claire staffer for Congressman Derek Van Orden. He agreed to a meeting and then didn't show up in the meeting because there were too many people there. They found him down at Derek Van Orden's office. And then Van Orden's office had the audacity to put out a statement saying that these folks were unprofessional and trying to ambush the congressional staffer. It is hardly an ambush when a bunch of primarily older folks show up, not exactly a crowd that's looking to, you know, string anybody up, but to hand over letters and notes saying just how much these cuts are hurting and how some of them are illegal and should not stand. We're going to talk about all this and more with our Week in Review panel coming up right after this break on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
If you've thought about contributing to a Roth IRA, but you made too much money during your working years, you can have a second chance through a Roth conversion. As you may know, a Roth IRA provides tax-free withdrawals, provided you've had the account at least 5 years and you're at least 59 and a half. A Roth's income limits may have kept you from contributing. However, you can convert your traditional IRA to a Roth. It's not hard to do. But there's a catch. You'll have to pay taxes on the pre-tax dollars you convert. See your tax advisor before making a conversion. If it's appropriate for your situation, you may find that owning a Roth IRA can benefit you and your family for years. This is Clay Kanoke with Edward Jones in Wisconsin Rapids at 715-421-0958.
Kick off the new year with a style that's all your own. Stand out and set the trend with Quality Plus Printing and Wham Incorporated. Design custom sports apparel that showcases your unique flair. When you feel good, you perform better.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
It was on this week, 1984, that Thriller won like all the Grammys, including Album of the Year. So we're playing some cuts off there on this Friday morning here on Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network, just about 7:22 right now. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a bit of a stretch, but it's Oscar weekend. So we're going to have a little fun with political theater. And if they gave out Oscars for some of these categories, what would you do with them? So I'm going to ask my Week in Review panel to talk all about that. That, of course, includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who also hosts Amicus Saturday mornings at 9 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then we've got two folks from Chicago, Mark Jacob, who's worked for the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times. And pinch hitting for Jennifer Schulze, who's off traveling this week, is WCPT radio broadcaster Joan Esposito, who joins us from the Windy City as well. Jim's connection is a little haywire right now, but we'll see if we can get him back on. In the meantime, Mark, Joan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Joan, it's so nice to be with you. Having been on your show multiple times, it's nice to thank you so much for getting up early and joining us over here today.
You're very, very welcome. And, you know, in addition to the Oscars and the Grammys, I just want to say today is my anniversary. So there's three reasons to celebrate.
Wow. Okay. We got all kinds of reasons here. Where do we want to start with all this? Because there's so much going on and you know, there's people who have been good supporters, who have been good actors, who have been bad actors at all of this. Let me start with this one first, Mark, because it's the most obvious one. Best comedy. The award for best comedy this week has to go to Susan Collins for claiming that she was appalled that in the United Nations vote about the war in Ukraine, that the Trump administration sided with Russia. It's good comedy out of Susan Collins, but Mark, nobody's laughing anymore at this stuff.
Well, Pat, everyone has learned their lesson because, you know, they always do learn their lesson, you know, and everyone gives, you know, Susan Collins is constantly amazed by everything. You know, it's like, you know, she wakes up in a new world every day, you know, you mean the Trump administration likes Putin? Wow, I can't believe this. You know, I can't believe she won her last election, and I don't know what she's going to do next time, but it's like, you know, in some ways, someone like Tommy Tuberville, who you know exactly where he's coming from, and he's, you know, going to say a bunch of crazy crap and all that. In some ways, that to me, that's preferable than somebody who pretends to be a moderate, but always ends up on the side of the right wing. Like Susan Collins, and always acts like she's standing up for decency, but never ends up on that, you know, doing it, really.
Well, that really, when it comes down to acting, Joan, that's really what we're talking about here, is there is just so much acting, which I know feeds the cynicism that people have about politics, but that doesn't mean we should accept the cynicism. We shouldn't accept the bad acting. We should call these kinds of things out. Definitely the kind of thing that you do on your afternoon show in Chicago is to well, people are trying to be, they say they want to be moderate. Their actions don't show that at all.
We call out the obvious bad behavior, but what really gets me is, you know, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, Pat, you privately talk to a Republican or you interview somebody who's knows Republicans and they trust to speak privately, and they don't even believe what they're voting for and what they're doing. Privately, they'll say, well, you know, Trump is a danger. Publicly, they're like, well, I'm behind Trump 100%. That's the worst kind of acting. That's the kind of acting that just drives me crazy, because I feel that Donald Trump himself is less dangerous than the people in elected office who are enabling him, because those are the people who have the potential to slow him down, if not rein him in, and they're acquiescing. You know, I'm reading a book about how democracies fall, and, you know, Thailand, and what happened in Germany, and just, you know, countries all across the world, all across recent history of the last 120 years. And it is the enablers who really bring down democracy, not the tyrants themselves. So that's the acting that I want to call out.
And that enabling can come not just from, you know, sycophants and minions and yes men, but Jim Santel, it also does come from some parts of the judiciary as well. You know, some folks on the Supreme Court come to mind, for example, who are acting as justices but appear to be politicians in judicial robes. But then there are still the occasional moments that tell us maybe things aren't all lost. You've got yet another federal judge ordered the Trump administration on Thursday to retract the directives that prompted the firing of thousands of federal workers, saying that they were illegal and suggesting the layoffs be stopped. That's fine for one judge to say, Jim, but I have a feeling this, like so many other Trumpian court things, is going to be caught in a long, hard slog before anything is resolved.
Certainly will be. And to follow up on your theme, I would offer, Pat, to your good thoughts, that some of the best supporting actors out there right now, those who are keeping the guardrails up to some extent, are those federal judges out there. This is William Alsup, Northern District of California, who just last night said, you know what? You do not have the legislative, you don't have the regulatory authority to do what you're doing. And for that reason, stop it. Now, again, those statements are important. They should be consumed by every American. To your point, we also have an appellate process. And all these decisions, including those other judges who are also saying, oh, by the way, you can't not do what I tell you to do. They're making some findings about contempt. All these things will be subject to appeals, to courts of appeals. Some of this, it's already percolating up to some degree, the Supreme Court. Ultimately, the big non-supporting major actor, again, comes from last July, when the United States Supreme Court, at the pen of John Roberts, told Donald Trump that he's got this massive authority to do what he can do. That's a major player in any movie, including the horrific movie that's going on in America right now.
So quite some political theater here, to which I would offer, as we head into break here, that there does need to be an award for worst supporting actor. And that has to be J.D. Vance, who somehow believes in his mind he's still the vice president of the United States when we actually have co-presidencies going on here. What happened to J.D. Vance? I guess he's just sent overseas to occasionally make wildly inappropriate speeches. But we'll continue this conversation with our panel, Joan Esposito from WCPT Radio in Chicago, Mark Jacob, who has the Stop the Presses newsletter, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney who hosts Amicus here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That discussion continues right after this break. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Well, we can already see around Wisconsin. The weather is going to be a challenge this spring. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Friday. That's why you being involved as a citizen scientist is so important to the National Weather Service, as well as our Wisconsin State Climatology Office. Bridget Mason is an assistant state climatologist, and she says the information gathered by individuals across Wisconsin very much helps them when it comes to forecasting.
So Wisconsin's weather can vary a lot from place to place, and we understandably don't have official weather stations everywhere to capture those local differences. So by having volunteers measure precipitation, we get a much more detailed picture of precipitation patterns across the state, which helps us to track rain and snow and hail, which our office can then put these events into historical context.
Bridget Mason, she's our assistant state climatologist. Tomorrow's the official launch of Rain Gauge Rally 2025, an effort to get more citizens involved in the weather reporting process. If you're interested, go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org, WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org, and get involved.
You've heard about Lely Center Monroe and how Lely Robotics can improve your dairy operation. Now's your chance to see it firsthand. You're invited to view it all in full action at an open house at Burnell Martin's Dairy Farm Wednesday, March 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Fenimore. Discover how this operation started with three Lely Astronaut A5 robotic milking systems, and in 2024, increase production per cow per day while reducing the cost of labor. Register and enter for a free cow brush at Lely.com.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And two of our Wisconsinites have been selected to be a part of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action Board of Directors. The newly elected directors include Terry Quam, a member of the Cattlemen's Beef Board and a beef producer from Lodi, and Corey Geiger, that serves as the lead dairy economist for CoBank. He's also a sixth-generation farmer in the dairy industry in northeast Wisconsin. Find out more about these two on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our daily e-newsletter. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be really windy with falling temperatures and a few sprinkles or flurries likely today. We'll see wind gusts from 40 to 45 through the afternoon. Temperatures will climb into the upper 40s by lunchtime, but quickly drop into the mid-30s by late afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny, not windy, but cooler. Our high tomorrow, 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir,
Blade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again, just outside the left elbow,
here,
goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, and we ask the question, where is the GOP? And we ask it to former RNC Chairman Michael Steele.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I got a pair of birds coming up to start the week here on Up North News Radio. Unrelated, I believe, but by happy coincidence, we have children's author Laura Bird joining us Monday morning at 7:30 with her latest list of book recommendations to keep your mind off current events for a little while. And then Tuesday morning at 7:30, Luann Bird from Bird on a Wire. She's now a podcaster. She's been a candidate, an activist in the Milwaukee area, and all the time basically killing us with kindness, because we can still have kindness even as we serve one another and resist current trends in politics. Then on Wednesday, we will have Congressman Mark Pocan joining us, a couple of state legislators on Thursday. And then next Friday, the return of an All-Star Weekend Review panel, like the one we got right here, right now, with Joan Esposito and Mark Jacob and Jim Santel. Joan, let me start with you for being our special guest here. And when I'm on your show some afternoons, like I think I am next week, you often ask about what's happening up in Wisconsin, what's new up in Wisconsin. I have one Illinois question I want to ask you, and I actually haven't asked Mark Jacob this for all of his appearances on here. We see your billionaire governor, J.B. Pritzker, all the time, you know, rather boisterous, standing up to Trump, everything like that. It does not appear like he has some kind of national ambitions. He strikes me as somebody who just likes the job that he's in, likes being able to poke at Donald Trump, and as a fellow wealthy person, can kind of go toe to toe with you know, working to deflate his ego. Is that kind of the right read on the governor there, or is there more to J.B. Pritzker?
Well, first of all, I say hats off to J.B. Pritzker, who at this moment in time seems to be filling a void of elected Democrats who are really willing to speak truth to power and speak it passionately, loud and long. And I don't care how much Hakeem Jeffries tells Rachel Maddow, oh, we don't need to have our spines stiffened. You know, Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are not leading this charge. And people like J.B. Pritzker are. And, you know, he was accused when he made that State of the State, State of the Budget speech, of positioning himself for higher office. And let's face it, Pat, you get somebody in a congressional seat or a Senate seat or a governor's chair, they think about higher office. They think about what would it take for me to run for president? I'd be a good president. You have to have a really strong sense of self to run for those jobs in the first place. So if the stars aligned and it looked like he would make the strongest Democratic candidate for president, I think he absolutely would do it. Is he positioning himself and thinking about every word he says right now to get to that place? Not so much. I think he's really upset that the Democratic leadership in Washington isn't coming out in a full-throated cry against Trump. I mean, he was one of the two people who organized that Democratic governor call with Chuck Schumer. And that call was all about, dude, you know, you got to do more. You got to be out there. You got to be yelling and screaming and waving your hands around. And so would he accept higher office? I think he absolutely would.
Mark, I'm sorry, Jonah.
No,
Mark,
I was just gonna say, I don't think that's what I don't think everything he's saying and doing right now is solely for that reason.
Mark, does it come back to what we talked about last Friday with Jennifer Schulze as well, about Joan talks about filling that void, and you know, you never know who's going to be the next great messenger of any cause or party or whatever, but you know, you won't find out if you don't actually step up to the microphone now and then, Mark.
Yeah, the thing about Pritzker is that, I mean, he's got all that family money. He doesn't need to kowtow to special interest groups or to rich donors. You know, the weird thing about that, Pat, is that you got people like Bezos who are super rich, but they're still afraid of losing it all. So they have to kowtow to, you know, to the right wing. But Pritzker's got the family money. He's very grounded. You know, this idea that he's some child of privilege, you know, he lost both his parents by the time he was 19. I mean, it's not, he had a tough childhood, and he, even, you know, being rich doesn't mean you're privileged necessarily. So he, he's been through things, and he and I really, I think he's overperformed. You know, when I was a editor at the Chicago Tribune, we wrote tough stories about Pritzker when he was running for governor, and you know, I think he's done better than anyone expected. And boy, do we need people who are going to speak boldly now. We don't need people who are going to, you know, just say, well, we need to get along better, or we need to lay back and let the Republicans mess up on their own. I don't think so. I think we need to confront outrageous things all the time. And we need to fight, fight, fight. That's what we need to do.
The mindset of, you know, wealthy Republicans that they can bend the rules, break the rules don't apply to them. I brought up a point, Jim, a little bit earlier that I don't necessarily expect you to be an expert on this, but give it your best crack, is that much like we talk about the debt ceiling and how this is a phony debate. Congress already approved the spending, so the debt ceiling is just pay the bills you've already, you know, approved in your budget. The same thing to me goes with these cuts. I mean, look, if you want to cut massive amounts of jobs, do it in the next budget. But we're in a budget right now where all these folks were hired by the federal government under a budget that's there. If you want to go find spending cuts and set that all up for your next budget, that's fine. But you know, maybe that's not the sole reason why these mass firings are illegal, but it certainly does strike me as odd that they think they can just do this willy-nilly in the middle of a budget cycle.
Absolutely. And your point could not be better stated, Pat. Under our Constitution, we know well how this works. You've got the House of Representatives that begins to establish the budget process. It comes forward and articulates a broad ambit, a broad structure for our budget, goes over to the Senate. Yes, indeed, a president also contributes to that process. And in the end, through the appropriations process, all of this is not put in stone, but it codifies not only the way that government works, but also the policies and priorities of the government. That's the way that a Congress and a president can indeed mold and shape the nation. Once that is done, and once you have hired the people to execute on those plans that have now been properly constitutionally put in place, you can do some massaging around the edges. But this sort of thing, again, as you indicated, as judges are finding, not only is it illegal because you're doing things that the Congress, as expressly said, you can't do contrary to what the Congress has said, but it also puts on its head the entire budget process. Again, as you go forward and work on future budgets, you can make these changes. I know this all too well when I was U.S. attorney, other supervisory positions. When those times came when we did not have a budget and I had to look at employees and send them home, you recognize the impact that these things have. And the notion of solidity and certainty and regularity when it comes to processing the work of the office, when that doesn't happen, very bad things happen. And that, of course, is the other consequence we're seeing across the board, including NOAA, as you indicated earlier, catastrophic for America. We've got these huge layoffs coming, quite literally Americans in danger right now as those go forward.
Right. And to get back to an earlier point that we were talking about with billionaires and such. Now, I was going to mention this and then I forgot. Now, Austin brings it up on Facebook. George Soros is spending millions in Wisconsin Supreme Court race right now. Do you care or do you only care when Musk does it? And the point I wanted to make was that there's a difference between checkbook and mouth. We all have freedom of speech. J.B. Pritzker is doing, you know, a great job with his mouth rather than necessarily trying to, you know, buy the presidency as Elon Musk did. So there is very much a difference when essentially a co-president, as Elon Musk is trying to buy his way into the Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin. But Joan, a lot of what's being done to these employees and to people, it's all done under the usual guise of what I refer to as Ronald Reagan's welfare queen. You've got members of Congress saying, well, we're doing this because all these able-bodied people are milking the taxpayer. Get off the couch. Stop eating Cheetos. You know, stop buying medical marijuana. This is all coming from a congressman in Texas whose own constituents, you know, 50% of the people on Medicaid down there have somebody with a disability at home that they're caring for. This whole notion of blaming the employees and blaming people for their needs
is just, it's so tired, and yet it clearly still works with just enough people.
Well, that's where I want Democratic leadership to step up. I mean, Pat, you and I, we have our radio platforms and we do what we can. But Medicaid, 62% of people in nursing homes are getting some kind of Medicaid. Those aren't people who are eating bonbons, and those aren't people who can go to work to offset their payments. The disabled, the chronically ill, very young children. You know, Republicans like to say things that they think make sense. Oh, you know, we're going to get rid of the waste and the lollygaggers. But if you scratch below the surface, who is it that actually gets Medicaid? You know, and this idea that, well, you can only get Medicaid if you work so many hours. Really? Your 94-year-old grandma in a nursing home? What kind of job is she going to get? And this is where Democrats have a perfect opportunity to call this kind of thing out and say, it's nonsense. And I wish there was a lot more of that going on.
I do as well. And Mark, it's something that we've talked about in terms of Courier Newsroom is conveying a certain message to folks that government actually does a lot of good things when good people are operating it, charged with handling those responsibilities seriously, charged with being prudent with the taxpayer money. Is there any chance, how pie in the sky am I here? Is there any chance that this all ends, Mark, at some point with more Americans having an appreciation for the services that our tax dollars have paid for?
Well, you can always hope that good things come out of bad things, and maybe so. You know, I mean, one of the things that, you know, Project 2025 called for getting rid of the, you know, the National Weather Service, you know, and privatizing stuff like that. And they've talked about laying off hundreds of NOAA people, which is, you know, and which deals with climate and deals with research. And I mean, if you privatize the National Weather Service, you're quickly going to realize that you got to pay to get warned if there's a hurricane. I mean, it's crazy. There are reasons why we have government agencies. I mean, you know, we have the CDC because we don't want diseases spreading across the country. You know, I mean, this idea that, well, those lollygaggers, as one of you guys put it. The idea that everyone is just, you know, sleeping at their desk or at home and not working is outrageous. And it's just, all the time you see government workers doing important things. I mean, that's why we have government. So they, you know, will fix roads. So they will, you know, have cops. So they will like have a military so that we can, you know, I mean, they're laying off people in the Defense Department. This is madness. And why are they doing it, Pat? They're doing it so they can give rich people more money. That's what they're doing.
And that's what we came back to in the first hour of the show. This, all of the chaos, the unintended consequences, the intended consequences, the catering to the culture war crowd. That's not the top issue for any of them. It is money. Yeah. It is the money class wanting more money and more power. Everything else just feeds into it. Jim, you've got a busy, we barely, as always, scratched the surface of the legal things that are in the news. What kinds of things are you talking about tomorrow on Amicus, a law review across the Civic Media Radio Network?
You know, one of the things we're going to talk about, I see that Don from Wauwatosa is asking about what you do, what these federal employees do. We're going to reemphasize what you just said, Pat, and that is the importance of federal workers and the significance that they add to our lives, and also the notion that, yes, indeed, there's a thing called the Merit Systems Protection Board that is beginning to restore some of these people. Just a couple of days ago, six of them were restored by the MSPB, saying, nope, you're entitled to your job, go back to work. I'm going to talk about the process, among other things, not only to push back on these large-scale cuts, but also in the individual way to say, you know what, you have rights under the Constitution, under the laws of this nation, to the benefit, once again, of 334 million people.
Very nice. And Joan, when can people catch you on WCPT? How do they do it?
Monday through Friday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., WCPT820.com. Go to your computer, hit the Listen Live button, and I will be there in all my glory.
We'll look forward to that very much. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mark. Have a wonderful weekend. When we come back, Dan Schumacher will talk sports and wrap things up for a Friday on Up North News Radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
All right, let's wrap up the work week here. I've got my new brewer's cap on that I got at spring training special. It's got the, what color is this? It's some kind of a desert sand.
It looks like
color.
Taupe.
Okay, we'll go with taupe. Let's get the little spring training logo on it. So that was my week in sports, which is pretty cool. Dan Schumacher is here as well. Dan, you ever been to spring training for the Cubs or anybody else?
I have not. That's one thing I haven't done. I've gone to preseason football camps, pro camps, but not baseball.
You know, I suppose, yeah.
You know what I'm thinking, guys? Next year, the three of us head over to Arizona, check out some Cubs games, check out some Brewers games, have a time.
There we go.
Isn't it great? We always have these great ideas
and then
for where we can
never
travel.
Do them.
And there never seems to be the logistics or the funding.
Yeah.
But it's nice to think about. And, you know, the thing is, Dan, I have wanted to do spring training for decades. It's, you know, there's just something that sounds almost magical and ritualistic about it. Now, look, once you get there, if you've been to small stadium baseball games, like, say, the St. Paul Saints, for example, the facility down there, American Family Fields, it isn't that much different than other small stadium baseball games you've been to. It's just the fact that it is spring training is what makes it feel special while you're down there. Yeah, it's a baseball game. No, it's a spring training baseball game. It's like there's hope. Even for Cubs fans, there is hope that spring is coming.
No doubt. No, that would be good. You know, it's probably one of those things I got to put on a bucket list and make sure I check it off before the inevitable.
Before the bucket gets kicked.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Exactly. No. What do you have that's comparable to? Well, look, you were actually as a player at an NFL training camp or a combine. Right?
Yeah, two. I was at two.
At two of them. Okay.
The Browns and the Steelers.
Okay. How long ago was that? More than a year or two.
So that would be the spring of 89.
Okay. All right. I mean, is that still, I mean, obviously, you know, your career path went in all kinds of directions here, but does that still count as something special when you think of all your many sports memories?
You know, it does, but it was a very short period. I mean, I think I was maybe at the Browns for 3 days. And then the same for about the Steelers. So it was a quick cup of coffee, and at least I got invited. I got to see what still is in my head is the level of competition I was going against.
Yeah.
The speed, the hand strength. I was playing wide receiver. So the hardest thing to do if you're a really good defensive back, you can push guys off the line with your hands. And your hands are your strength as a DB. And the main thing, the speed and the strength and the agility, I wasn't up to par to that.
Yes, Greg.
I have a question. This is a football question. Are there many separate combines, or is it one NFL combine and all the teams are there?
What they do now, they did, everyone joined, 35 years ago, they had one combine.
Okay.
Now what they do is they try to avoid bringing the Division II and Division III players to the combine to create more room for D1. But then what they turn around is they play these little bowl games, these senior bowl games. And that's when the Division II and Division III guys get to show what they got.
Gotcha.
They do some games like down in Florida or one in Arizona, and you get invited to – I mean, Pat, the UW Eau Claire quarterback played in a bowl game as well as a senior. So that's how he got to show off his talents, and that's how he got signed to go to Europe instead.
Okay. You know, when you talked about the hands and the strength and the speed and everything, it reminded me of a sports segment that I heard earlier in the week, really all about what's being called the tush push that the Philadelphia Eagles have been using so well, and whether it is something that is bending the rules or if they have just perfected the technique of the quarterback sneak and getting somebody over the line. So here's as deep a sports question as we get today. Dan, where are you on the tush push?
At one time it was illegal to do that.
Well, yeah, you're putting 600 pounds of men behind the quarterback.
You could not have, when that started to happen, usually they called it down right where the contact was happening, where you could see another offensive lineman pulling somebody into the end zone and stuff like that. But I don't know exactly when the rules changed. And now that a couple of these pro teams are using it to their advantage, especially when you've got a smaller quarterback behind the center, like the Eagles have. They have a smaller, littler guy.
Well, there you go.
I'm kind of indifferent on it. It's just another part of the strategy to the game.
Yeah.
And situational stuff.
Yep. I kind of wondered about that as we get to talking about that. Let's get to a basketball for a second. Giannis scored 28 last night. Bucks beat the Denver Nuggets 121-112. They play at Dallas tomorrow. Three games left for college men's basketball. The Badger men's basketball team will be playing on Sunday. That will be against Michigan State. Coverage starts at 11:30. Across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then the Marquette men's basketball team is at Georgetown Saturday night. The Badger women's hockey team kicks off their conference tournament hosting Bemidji State tonight, tomorrow afternoon, and Sunday afternoon, and if needed. That is all to say, Dan, that in conclusion, if you are any kind of a sports fan, especially this time of year, the really fun season is coming up. March Madness for basketball and hockey.
Badgers look good. They look like a top team. I wouldn't be surprised they get one of the top seeds. They're playing well. They're playing really well. Heck, my Northland baseball team leaves for Florida next week for their spring travels and start games.
See? So, another sign of spring. I love that.
Another sign of spring, right.
It's like I said, the guy that came and hauled my lawn tractor away for it needed some annual service and whatnot. As he's loading it on the trailer, I come outside and I just yelled at him, I'm going to call you Robin because you are my first sign of spring. And the lawn tractor is getting its tune-up. I am ready for all of this.
And he goes, okay.
Okay. And he just drove away quietly in his trailer. Thank you, Dan. Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Bye, Dan.
Greg Bach is back for Matt and Air on Air. Little hours from now here across the Civic Media Radio Network. You have a great weekend, and all of you as well. Enjoy. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks so much for being here for Up North News Radio. Follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletter there and follow us on social media. Have a wonderful weekend. See you Monday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A federal judge rules the Trump administration's mass layoffs last week were likely illegal. CBS's Thane Rosenbaum.
This ruling only affects federal probationary employees who are defined as those with less than a year at their jobs. There are 200,000 such employees.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky meets with President Trump at the White House today, where they're expected to sign a mineral deal in exchange for U.S. military aid.
We want to be secured. We want to get that money back. We're helping a country through a very, very big problem, a problem like very few people have had.
New information on the deaths of actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog, whose remains were found at their home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. CBS's Anna Schechter.
Pretty grim. The affidavit noted that the bodies were already starting to decompose.
Investigators say there were no signs of a gas leak. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.